With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. We come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Thanks for being with us. Coming up this hour, would you go to an 0-16 parade? One Cleveland Browns fan now has the permit for it. Will you attend or would you attend? I'm intrigued by this. Green Bay Packers do not have an 0-16 problem, but they do have an Aaron Rodgers problem. The Packers sit at 5-6. They've lost five of their last six. And since the injury against the Vikings, the Packers season has slided away. But Rodgers looks like he's going to begin throwing on Saturday, practicing on Saturday with the team, or would be cleared to practice on Saturday. The problem is he wouldn't be able to come back until December 17th against the Panthers. That would give the Packers the final three regular season games for Rodgers to come back from the broken collarbone. Rodgers underwent surgery to repair it a couple of weeks ago on October the 20th. But because he went on IR, he has to miss 6 weeks. The Packers realistically have to go 10-6 to have a shot at going to the playoffs. I don't think 9-7 is going to get you in unless all hell breaks loose and a lot of these teams end up collapsing down the stretch, but you can't count on that. So the Packers at 5-6 essentially need to run the table. That means, minus Aaron Rodgers, they've got two must-win games with Brett Hundley under center. This weekend against the Buccaneers at home, and then at the winless Cleveland Browns. Guys, this is doable. It's doable. And what would be more epic than Aaron Rodgers missing the bulk of the season with a broken collarbone, and then running the table on the final three games, squeezing into the NFC playoffs, and then going on the road as a road warrior NFC playoffs and picking off all these teams that have never been there before. I mean, Carson Wentz and the Eagles, Jared Goff and the Rams, Case Keenum and the Vikings. I know the Vikings defense has been in the playoffs, but they have not been led by Case Keenum in that realm, in that role. At the very least, this could happen. It could, which would save us at least some angst about losing all these great stars during the regular season to injuries. Deshaun Watson, not to return. J.J. Watt, not to return. We thought Aaron Rodgers, not to return. Guys, it's on the table. It's at least on the table. But you've got to figure out a way to beat the Buccaneers or the Browns with Brett Hundley. And if you were asking me 2 weeks ago after that debacle against the Ravens whether that could happen, I would say absolutely, positively not. There is no way that Brett Hundley is going to be able to win any games, even if it's the Browns and the Buccaneers, to position themselves at 7-6 and give the football over to Aaron Rodgers. But Hundley played well against the Steelers last weekend. He played well against the Steelers on the road. Had them tied up. Game-winning drive and field goal by Pittsburgh. It's on the table. Did the Packers make a mistake putting Aaron Rodgers on IR? Probably. I mean, I don't know this. I don't know the specifics, obviously, of the injury. Maybe Aaron Rodgers looks good in practice but doesn't feel comfortable going out there and testing it on a football field right now. Maybe at the point in time when Aaron Rodgers got the surgery, the doctor said there's no way you're going to be able to come back within 6 weeks, so you've got to be put on IR. Maybe nobody in his life, no coaching member, no medical staff, no doctor, no surgeon, no nobody said he'd be able to come back before mid-December. So maybe it was the only decision to be made. But you got to remember, Aaron Rodgers does the impossible. So you kind of can't treat him like the normal. Can Hundley get the next two games? Basically, it comes down to can you beat the Buccaneers? Because the Browns are going 0-16. That much is clear. That parade is on. Can you beat the Buccaneers at home, Brett Hundley under center? At Lambeau. That's what it comes down to. You beat the Buccaneers, then you go on the road to Cleveland, and Rodgers is clear to come back Panthers, Vikings, Lions. Now, Panthers, Vikings, Lions is a tough final three games for Aaron Rodgers. But the Packers are completely different with Rodgers. And can you imagine that game against the Vikings? If Rodgers needs that win and the Packers need that win to solidify their playoff positioning, and that was the team that knocked him out, could you imagine what Rodgers would want to do to the Vikings? Mraz, this is on the table. I thought they were going to shut him down. End of the season. End of the Packers season. It's at the very least on the table.
It's on the table, but it won't happen because I have hexed Aaron Rodgers. And I said he'd never win a playoff game. Now they're not getting to the playoffs this year. It just will not happen. They had their chance. Sunday night, tight game, blew it versus Steelers.
Yeah, but you need to release that jinx. At this point, you've
got Yes, you need to. This jinx is alive more now than ever.
Yeah, but you need to release it.
Why?
Because
you were there that night when you saw my face of embarrassment.
Yeah, but that's not fair to do this to one of the greats of all time. You're robbing the world of watching Rodgers in his prime.
Was it fair to tell me, a polite, patron, to get away from him, buddy? That wasn't polite.
Well, you were showing him a picture of your naked body smeared with Crisco and birdseed.
I had a pink Speedo on it.
And nothing but a Speedo at a bar. He didn't know who you were. It was a bad idea by you. I would want
you pushed me to go there.
Well,
bad idea by me.
Look, after a couple of beers, it sounded like a good idea. Once I became sober, I realized it was not a good idea. Also, remember, that was when he was going through the breakup with Olivia Munn.
So that doesn't mean you turned me away. I was nothing but nice.
Well, I think you scared him. You spooked him. And I think you need to release this jinx because the world wants to see Aaron Rodgers come back and go on a world revenge tour.
I don't. I could care. I've seen enough Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs. It's Case Keenum time now.
I think you're being incredibly selfish not to release this jinx.
Now I'm selfish.
Yeah.
I was embarrassed in front of an entire bar of 20 people.
Nobody knew. Now I am
being selfish.
Nobody but me and Kenny Brock knew that it happened.
His friend did. His friend rolled his eyes at me.
Yeah, his friend.
Friend was even ruder. Who was he? Take a hike.
I think it's time for you to release the jinx. Would you do me this favor? If Brett Hundley wins the next two games, would you release the jinx for Rodgers for the final 3 weeks of the season?
Only because I want to see more entertaining games. But I hope he loses that Week 17 game.
Okay, but you'll release the jinx.
If Hundley does his job, I will release the jinx. If.
Okay, that's all I'm asking. If Hundley does his job.
Because I'm a football fan first and foremost.
I know. That would be very magnanimous of you. This would show that you're not just selfish and you're not just in it for yourself.
How many times do I got to prove I'm not selfish around here?
You'll release the jinx if the Packers win the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, but also somebody else has to lose to make it real realistic, too.
What do you mean somebody has to lose? No, if they win the next 2 weeks, you've got to release the jinx.
There's still going to be two games out, though, with three to play.
Fine, but you have to release the jinx. And let's just see what happens once the jinx is lifted.
All right, well, clearly, if I don't release the jinx, you're going to be angry at me. So for, you know, like, happy wife, happy life, to keep it happy around here, I'll release the jinx.
Okay, happy host, happy with the most.
I think that works.
Eric is in Harrisburg, listening to 96.5 to CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Eric?
Good morning, D.A. Hope good morning. Everyone's doing well.
Back at you, man.
Wonderful. Watch the what the Eagles seamlessly doing fantastically on cruise control. Diverted my attention to the Sixers for a little bit, and noticed after that great win yesterday, some reports on 24/7 Sports this morning that said that LeBron James was very excited or happy about Brett Brown as a coach, and had went on to say something about Carson Wentz being the most favorite player for him to watch in the NFL. And I'm kind of getting a curl in the stomach, wondering if that's LeBron's way of kind of saying, hey, Philadelphia's a viable option. And am I crazy as a Philadelphia 76ers fan not to want LeBron James interfering with this young team? I'll leave it to you. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
You got it, Eric. Yeah, I think you're crazy if you don't want LeBron James part of this team, because what's the worst that can happen? LeBron comes there for 3 years, 2 years. It's a debacle. They miss the playoffs. And then LeBron James moves on to something else, and you still have a young core of guys. What's the worst that could happen? I mean, LeBron would immediately, as one of the greatest players of all time, make everybody around him better. He would immediately make you a championship contender. And the Sixers haven't been a championship contender since Allen Iverson's peak nearly 20 years ago. Yeah, you'd be crazy not to want LeBron James. I would say this, don't read too much into the LeBron James stuff. LeBron likes this part of it. He likes that all eyes are on him. He likes being courted. He likes doing the read the tea leaves thing. So he's going to be complimentary of Brett Brown, which he should be. He's going to be complimentary of Carson Wentz. He should be. Complimentary of things that he sees around the league that he likes. But he's going to do this a lot this season. I love LeBron James. I appreciate LeBron James. I'm one of those guys that's not a Cavs fan, wasn't a Heat fan, but I just love that we get to watch this stuff, watch this guy. I remember watching Michael Jordan in his prime and going, I love that we get to watch this. The same deal, man. So I love watching LeBron, but I also know LeBron's flaws. And LeBron's flaws is the guy likes his attention, likes when the attention's on him, has a monster ego, like Michael did, and will utilize that to peck and to prod and to see everybody kind of go into a tizzy. So don't read too much into comments about the Sixers, about LA, about the Lakers, where his kids are going to school, this and that. He hasn't made any decision. He'll keep everything open. And I think he's nowhere close to leaning one way or another. I think he'll keep all of his options open up until June and July and then make his decision at that point in time. Nothing is going to be decided before then. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return, would you go to an 0-16 parade? DA, CBS Sports Radio. Want to experience great live music? Go to LiveNation.com to buy tickets to Pink, Foo Fighters, Jay-Z, Guns N' Roses, Demi Lovato, Maroon 5, the biggest country artists and more. The greatest concerts to give you the best memories are at LiveNation.com. Get tickets now. JMH tweets, damn it, DA, Aaron Rodgers' comeback is nauseating. Just cancel Christmas. Pardon my language. If Aaron Rodgers comes back final 3 weeks of the regular season, needing to go 3-0 to slip the Packers into the playoffs, then become the team nobody wants to play, how great would that be? I mean, the NFC playoffs are going to be great anyway, especially if the Falcons are one of the wild cards. Does anybody want to play the Falcons as well? Every game would be must-see TV in the NFC playoffs. And if the Packers squeezed in with Rodgers, that'd be amazing. Zane tweets, I want a Tommy versus a Aaron. Let's play for Rodgers' return. Would you not watch Brady versus Rodgers? How cool would that be? I think it would be amazing. And it's on the table, but the Packers need to beat the Buccaneers this weekend and then need to beat the Browns next weekend for Rodgers to come back with only six losses and then try to get his team at 7-6 to 10-6. Tweet coming in from the first lady of Trash Tuesday. That'd be Courtney. And Courtney wanted to weigh in on the discussion we were having. Maybe it was more like a fight, a battle over sweatpants in public. Courtney tweets, I missed the epic sweatpants debate earlier in the week, but before I could take sides, can you clarify whether or not yoga pants count as sweatpants? Hashtag need to know.
Oh, okay.
I will tell you this. I cannot weigh in on women's yoga pants because I'm not a woman. I don't know where you guys stand on the yoga pants. I don't know. I don't wear yoga pants. My friends that I'm working with aren't wearing yoga pants. I'm not sure where ladies stand on yoga pants. I know they're got to be amazingly comfortable. Everybody says, all the women say that they love them. Do you view yoga pants as giving up on life? Because that's where we're at with sweatpants. We've established this years ago. If you're wearing sweatpants in public, you've given up. And my point on sweatpants, especially on the sidelines of a football game, when you're a coach, you're making hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe millions of dollars. You're representing a billion-dollar corporation. Yeah, you're in athletics. It doesn't mean you can dress like a loser. When you go to the airport, dressing in pajamas is not okay. When you go to class in college, hoodie and pajamas, not okay. Dress up a little bit. It doesn't take much. I'm not asking for a three-piece suit. But somehow we went from Mad Men and Vince Lombardi and Tom Landry and wearing suits and fedoras at games to everybody feeling like they can just wear sweatpants wherever they go in life, including at work. And it's just amazing, and I'll tell you why this happened. It happened because we as Americans became more and more comfortable giving ourselves the ultimate out. I need to be comfortable. That's the only thing that matters. I need this. We are inherently a selfish culture more and more every day. There's good people. There's good people doing a lot of generous things. But we are a completely self-absorbed society. Our phones have made us this, and technology has made us this, and other things have made us this. But because we are targeted all the time, we stay in our comfort zones all the time, and being uncomfortable is something nobody ever wants to do anymore in 2017 in America. Don't make me uncomfortable. Like, I love the commercial where Larry the Cable Guy is walking through a state fair with a hot dog on a stick, and he's pumping heartburn medicine. Like, instead of putting down the hot dog on the stick and going, this is what's giving me the heartburn, take medicine so that I can keep eating the hot dog on a stick. Don't take away my hot dog on a stick. Just give me more meds, man. I want to be comfortable at the airport. I want to be comfortable in class. I want to be comfortable at work. So I'm wearing sweatpants. Well, it's called being lazy. It's harder to put on jeans. It's harder to put on slacks. It's not as comfortable. Sorry, you wouldn't wear sweatpants to a funeral. So there is a line of decorum, right? But it's just not at work because now work is not that professional anymore. Mraz told me the other day in this debate that he would actually be more productive if he was allowed to wear Zubaz. Now think about that for a second. It's not enough for him to be productive because he's at work, because this is his job that he is paid for. He is employed to do this. There is an agreement between him and the bosses at CBS. These will be the jobs you do. You will do them to the best of your ability. Mraz's mindset is, make me more comfortable and I'll do more for you. Give me a cookie. Give me a treat and I'll do more. Well, this is where our whole society has gone askew, is that people need to feel as though you are basically playing to them. And then they're willing to do it. Then. It's sweatpants. It's the whole sweatpants bit. Let me be comfortable, then I'll do what you need me to do.
There's also a difference between paint-stained, dirty sweatpants and just nice, sleek-looking casual wear.
Nope.
Of course not.
Wear them at home.
Because you're a 65-year-old in a 35-year-old's body.
Wear them at home. Wear them at home. I don't care. Wear them at home. But at work, on an airport, on an airplane, at an airport, in school, class, no, not okay. Would you go to an 0-16 Cleveland Browns parade? I would. There is a Cleveland Browns fan that has actually gotten a permit in Northeast Ohio in Cleveland to have a parade to celebrate the opposite of perfection. 0-16. And I love this idea. Number one, I can't believe he somehow got a legal permit to do this. But Chris McNeil has received permission for the city of Cleveland to have a parade outside First Energy Stadium if the team finishes 0-16. This is the second straight year McNeil has filed for paperwork. Number one, I can't believe the city said you can have a parade outside the stadium. If I'm the city of Cleveland, I'm saying, yeah, okay, you know what? You could have your parade, but have it on your block. Basically, this is your block party. We'll shut off your block for a day. You could have your pickup truck with a stuffed Trent Dilfer in the back or a stuffed Bernie Kosar in the back or the jersey with all of the names of the different quarterbacks that have played for the Browns. You can have that in the back of a pickup truck on your block. But no, you're not going to get anywhere near the Brown Stadium. And no, you're not going to be anywhere near downtown Cleveland. But dude, this guy got the permit to have a parade. I'm serious about this. This is like the best idea for Nomad ever. What are the signs going to be? What are the people going to be like? What are the Browns jerseys I'm going to see? What's going to be served? Who's going to be on floats? How long is this parade? How many people are there? This is awesome. This whole thing is awesome because if you have been dragged through the mud for this long, at least give Browns fans, it's kind of like a booby prize. It's gallows humor. I think this is awesome. If I was in Cleveland, I would totally go. I'm thinking about coming from New York City to go to this thing. I love this idea. Mraz, another excuse for you to be outside with fellow fans, wearing stained Zubaz, eating a cheese dog, slugging a beer. Don't you love this idea?
I love the idea. You're going to want everybody there in suits, but yeah, I don't love the idea of celebrating 0-16, but I love the idea for having an excuse to party, if that makes any sense.
Why not celebrate 0-16? You have nothing else to celebrate with the Browns.
Because as Andrew Kaplan, who's way smarter than me, who runs our digital simulcast at DA on watchda.com, I'm sorry,
nice,
pointed out, it's not like the whole city stinks. I mean, they're on the verge of an NBA Finals or World Series every year with these current Cavs and Indians teams. You got plenty to celebrate. Do we need to honor 0-16 with a parade?
The Browns are such a dumpster fire. They're so humiliating. They're so embarrassing.
Grow up, you know?
That this, I think, is a great idea. It gives people something to celebrate. Root for 0-16. You want 0-16 for the number one draft pick anyway. Why not get a parade out of it as well? I love this idea. 1,400 fans have confirmed that they will go to the event. Well, 5,300 more are quote-unquote interested, which I love this idea.
There may be's on the Facebook.
They're soft yeses at this point. So, look, if you get more than 1,000 people at a parade outside a stadium for 0-16, how embarrassing would the Browns organization have to feel looking out their windows and there's a parade for 0-16? I love this idea. Bravo, Cleveland.
Brandon Wheaton's a bum. Colt McCoy's going to be gone. Jason Campbell, we just signed. He's a bum.
When we come back, your cut line and your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
20 vodka today, man.
And that's after about 10 cold Miller Lights. Yeah.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Ric Flair joining us a couple of months ago ahead of his 30 for 30. I got to watch the entire thing again the other day, and I thought it was really fascinating. It's such a good one. He lived such a weird, bizarre, crazy, interesting life. And he was brutally honest about all of his character flaws as well. And one of the most interesting quotes that he had was why he drank so much. He told us, as you heard, he used to drink 10 beers, then 20 vodka drinks basically every day. And he went to, I think it was a psychologist, maybe a sports psychologist at some point in his career. And the doctor said, you know, how much are you drinking? Or the psychologist said that therapist. And he said, well, about 15 to 20 drinks a day. He said, what? Because you have about 15 to 20 drinks a day. Well, how many days? Every day. How many days this week? 7. How long have you been doing this? Like 18 years. And the guy flipped out. Like, how is that even possible? Well, he had complete organ failure a couple of months ago and is basically lucky to be alive. But it was interesting to hear Ric Flair kind of admit to what a disaster it ended up being, but that he could not escape it. His personality was trapped in that. His persona was trapped in that. And the director said, did you ever go out and have a good time and not drink? He said, no. He said, did you ever try it? Ric Flair said, no. Why would I try it? Okay.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
It was really good. If you haven't seen the 30 for 30, it's really, really good. We got to crack on Mraz a little bit about some of his faux pas while hosting the other day, last week, on CBS Sports Radio. I dusted off the old play-by-play chops for Facebook Live and the Stadium Group production company to call a Conference USA game this past Saturday. Now, I had not done play-by-play in probably, I mean, for football, 13, 14 years, something like this. And really hadn't done it regularly since college. Did a little bit of play-by-play before, but not in a long time. And so figured it was kind of like jumping up and riding a bike, but it wasn't quite like that. By the second half, I was okay, but early on, it was a little clunky. Hard to identify players I hadn't seen before, unfamiliar with, on the moment, at the second, with a director in your ear trying to spout off stats and what's going on and where do you go in the truck and all this type of stuff. It was a great experience, but I realized, oh boy, yeah, I forgot how much goes into this. Good play-by-play guys, that's a hell of a skill. That's a totally different part of the brain that I'm used to working with. But I thought there was a couple of big plays that weren't so bad.
Couple of first downs. Now Charlotte's offense starting to feel okay about itself. Moves past the FAU 30-yard line. Pressure is on Clue. Heaves it downfield. That is complete. And that's a touchdown for the running back, Benny LeMay. The first point to the board for Charlotte. And that's a huge momentum piece of the puzzle for the 49ers.
So I feel like I've got a different voice on that as well.
Yeah, you know, you sound different. Also, we make fun of my language. What's a momentum piece of the puzzle?
Well, we were kind of trying to figure out like what it would take for Charlotte to get back into this. And we were talking about like they need a big play here. They need to stop the run there. That was kind of like the momentum piece. Like they also need the momentum.
How about that could jumpstart some momentum?
Yeah, that would have been better. Yeah.
Momentum piece of the puzzle has me lost.
Has you lost. Okay, here's another big play. This one by FAU.
Driscoll takes the snap, looking left. Now has to change it. Now we'll go deep down the sideline. Touchdown! Willie Wright pulls it in. What a game for Wright. And boy, a back-breaking defensive lapse on fourth down for Charlotte.
It's a fourth and 8 in FAU. Got a 41-yard touchdown. Wide receiver got behind the play.
Now, game out of hand at that point?
That kind of put it out of hand.
I like the call. You really had the good emphasis there. You didn't overdo it where you're screaming at me for no reason about a touchdown.
I think it was third quarter.
Yeah, you gave me the back-breaking. You know, I liked it there. That was better than the first one.
Okay. Now,
you know what? You might have some ability in this game.
Early, though, in the game, I was lost. I really was. It was clunky. I needed some plays back. On the second drive, Charlotte's got a punt. Charlotte fakes the punt. They've never faked the punt. I was totally not ready for this, and I can't see because it's on the far sideline. I don't have the binoculars. So I'm trying to figure out past what the line is doing, what happened, and it looks like it's a pooch punt. But instead, it wasn't a punt that went off the side of the guy's foot. The Charlotte punter had thrown the ball up, and it was like a pop fly, and I'm lost.
So it's a 4th and 6 for Charlotte, and the 49ers will punt.
Debacle.
Oh, rugby-style punt doesn't go very far, and it looks like it was actually a fake pass, and it was incomplete. And so trying again to be aggressive, Charlotte, you got to like the attempt, but just overthrows and sails the receiver.
I feel like this play sums up their season.
Brutal. Just, I'm totally lost there.
Boy, did Jeff Schwartz save your bacon at the end there, huh?
Barely, though. Schwartz needed to jump in there a little bit quicker. Save me from myself here, Schwartz.
So it's a real pass, not a fake pass.
Yeah, it was like a fake punt, and it was a pass and a fake punt. Awful. I'm like, boy, I am real rusty on this.
You jumped in with the rugby style there. Where did you pull that from?
Because last week, well, the week before when I was doing the color commentary and Dan Helly from NFL Network's doing the play-by-play, the kicker for Marshall was from Scotland or something, and he was running to the side and punting. You know that rugby-style punt thing?
Right.
So he's like running to the side and then punting it, which you see some punters do. So it looked like that because he was running to the side, and then it just kind of popped up in the air. So I figured, oh, that was a rugby-style kick. No, in fact, he actually kind of like heaved it up in the air, and just it sailed over his intended receiver's head. It was a terrible call.
Yeah, and how big is this stadium that you can't see? It's Charlotte. You're not exactly Tennessee.
Rugby-style punt.
As you said, oh, it's, you know, too far for me to see. They're basically playing at Hofstra. I mean, come on.
Yeah, look, I butchered it. I mean, there's no doubt. I butchered it. And I'm just so glad that it wasn't on network TV because awful announcing would be all over it. All over it. Sign up to be an O Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. Fast, easy, free. Only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Time for your cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
Yesterday, during Jimbo Fisher's coaches show, hosted by Gene Deckerhoff, voice of the Seminoles, an FSU fan said, "Where's the loyalty to the program?" He questioned Jimbo Fisher, saying that when you first came on campus, it was all about being proud of being part of FSU. And now, where is the loyalty as you are talking with other schools about other jobs? That fan was quickly escorted out of the building. And give the fan credit, he stood about 10 feet away from Jimbo Fisher. Now, I get it why you don't want that type of thing going on the coach's show. It's supposed to be a commercial for the program. But this fan is right. I mean, as I said before, in college athletics, when kids get upset because they're not getting enough playing time, we criticize them. When they transfer because they're not a starter, we criticize them. When they don't play in bowl games to save their stock, we criticize them. But when a coach wants to go to a different program or flirts with another program just to make more money or to leverage his current employer to get more money out of them or more bonuses or benefits, we go, ah, that's just coaches being coaches. That's the coaching carousel. That's how it works. That's capitalism. So these coaches preach loyalty to their kids. Be loyal to FSU. Jimbo Fisher is pounding his fist on the desk about fans being loyal. Don't question the program. Don't question the coaches. Threatening to fight people in the stands because they're questioning him. Loyalty. Be loyal to the program. But Jimbo Fisher can go talk to Texas A&M? It's totally hypocritical. The fan is right. All of these fans are right when you get bent out of shape that your coach is flirting with another school when all that coach has ever done is sell loyalty.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
All right, that is your cut line. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Going back over Mraz's stint doing the overnight show in for Amy Lawrence on Thursday and Friday, not one but two co-workers or former co-workers pranking him.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
You also had what appeared to be a few plant jobs. Here was a call from, I believe it was an Antoine in the Bronx. Let's listen to this.
Let's go one more. How about the trifecta? Antoine in the Bronx. Antoine, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning, Sean. How you doing, man?
Good morning. What's going on, bud?
Hey, I know you love Rangers hockey. Let's talk some Rangers hockey.
I'm sure that's what the nation is ready to hear, but okay, what do you got for me?
Who cares what they think? I mean, I was listening to WFAN in New York a minute ago, and
what did
he said, I'm not the guy to ask.
Joey Waller, for some reason, breaking bad news with Joey Waller.
It's breaking bad news with Joey Waller.
Tweeted out this clip the next day. So I'm almost wondering, was that Waller pranking you?
I thought about this a lot. It has to be. I think Joey Waller was trying to throw me off.
Bobcats 12-10 in front of the Heat.
See how I would stand in there and take an oddball call?
By being Antoine in the Bronx to talk about Rangers hockey?
Bulls in front of the Nets 21-10.
It sounded like Shep called into Mraz.
David, Memphis, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Mraz, just want to say, man, I'm a huge fan of yours. Been listening for a long time, and this is long overdue for you to host a national radio show.
And I rubbed the belly.
Congratulations, first and foremost.
If only women were as tender as cats.
David, what's going on, man? I appreciate it. Now, hold on. Is this Shep?
No, it's David from Memphis.
Life is about being as rich as your needs are for you.
David from Memphis. Okay. All right. Interesting. What's up, David?
You're my roommate, bro.
And that was it. He hung up.
He had like one quick point, but he panicked, and I haven't heard from him since.
Now, Shep's real name is David Shepard.
And moved to Memphis.
So that's definitely Shep.
We have a shared room.
So but why not just admit it when I call you out on it?
Well, why is Waller doing Antoine in the Bronx and Shep doing David in Memphis bits? What's going on?
I don't know. These guys just trying to stand in there. Just admit who you are. Tell me who you are.
Maybe they're jealous that you got this role, that you got this opportunity.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Yeah. Hey, Sean. What is that from Waller? Antoine of the Bronx. Adam tweets, DA, does a complete sweatpants and hoodie combo, is that okay with a t-shirt underneath? Only on weekends, not to bars or work. Yeah, I have no problem dressing up comfortably at home. Raking leaves, taking out the trash, watching football, sweatpants, hoodies all day. Sleeping, wrapping your presents for Christmas, eating leftovers. I'm all about comfort at home. I'm just talking about at the workplace specifically. I'm even a little bit more lenient in terms of college classes, high school classes, and the airport. But at work is my problem here. Maestro Mike says, half your argument is illogical. You keep mentioning salaries, like you're too rich to be able to wear sweatpants. No, I'm just saying, if you represent a $1 billion corporation, like we don't let CEOs show up at board meetings or lawyers show up in the courtroom wearing sweatpants. And yet these guys are worth $500,000 a piece or $2 million and they wear sweatpants to coach football? Why can't we look nice at that point? Why can't you be Vince Lombardi? Why can't you be Tom Landry? Why can't you be Don Shula? Think Don Shula's wearing sweatpants on the sidelines of Super Bowl III? Then let's get with it. That'll do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheel
the
of Steel.
The Body.
Yeah. And Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com. The mothership disconnects.
Rugby-style punt.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.